If you wanted to make sure that you grew spiritually all the days of your life, what would you do? What are the basic elements of spiritual growth? As I have studied this, it seems to me there are two things that must be present if we are to grow up spiritually and keep growing as long as we live. But before we look at that, let's ask another question. Why should we be concerned about growing spiritually anyway? What's the big deal? Why bother? Well, the big deal is that God wants us to. It's His idea. He does not want His children to remain spiritual babies. He wants us to grow up into Christ, strong, robust soldiers of the cross, living lives that glorify Him. And remember, spiritual maturity doesn't necessarily come with years. I heard Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, tell a group of people, "If many of you were as old physically as you are spiritually, you would fall off your chairs." And the Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." You can be an old Christian, but still be a babe in Christ. One of the keys to spiritual maturity is mentioned in that passage, the Word of God. The Word of the Lord is God's provision of food for our souls. That's why He says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So let me ask you, how strong is your desire to get into the Word? Maybe that's where you need to start. Pray that God will increase your desire for God's Word. I know of a lady who prayed earnestly that God would give her a great hunger for Himself. And today that lady spends about 2.5 hours every morning reading the Word and praying. She just can't get enough of the Word. The difference? Desire. The second key to spiritual growth is a proper reaction to the hard times of life. And what should that reaction be? According to the Bible, our reaction should be one of joy. Paul says we glory in tribulations. This is an incredible verse when you remember the fact that the word tribulation means threshing machine. Imagine rejoicing when you go through the threshing machine. And how can that be? That can only happen when we realize that it is there that the Lord separates the chaff from the wheat in our lives. It is there that which is useless is taken out. Some months ago, I was driving a very small car through a strong windstorm in New Mexico. The road sign had warned of strong crosswinds, and they were strong. I was fighting the steering wheel trying to keep the car on the road when I happened to look up and see a great hawk soaring overhead, not moving a feather. The winds that I was fighting were simply taking that old hawk higher and higher. As I drove along, I thought, that reminds me of some Christians I know. It's true, isn't it? The same winds of adversity that causes some Christians to struggle and fight just takes others closer and closer to the Lord. The difference? Our reaction to them. When we realize what God can do during those hard times, our hearts will follow the command of James, "When you are tested in different ways, my fellow Christians, consider it pure joy, because you know the testing of your faith stirs up your power to endure. Then let endurance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing."